Yeah, the Monty Show, your favorite sports podcast every single day, Monday through Friday. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I'm Monty, that's Jake.
What's up?
What's this song, Jake?
This is Radiation by Gavin DeGraw.
Nice. I'm a huge Gavin DeGraw fan. I'm a huge Shaun White fan as a snowboarder. Should I be a Shaun White fan as a human being? And are the two mutually exclusive? We'll talk about that. Got to talk about the Rookie of the Year in the NBA. We got to talk about the fact that Lindsey Vonn is single on Valentine's Day and begging for a date. And oh, by the way, is Valentine's Day a holiday? Jake has some strong feelings on that.
Yep.
You, while you are not single, you are not married.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I was chastised before the show for saying that Jake was single when he's not single, and I guess that matters, right? So there you have it. All right. Make sure that you find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Now that I got all that out of the way, why don't we talk some Shaun White? Because I think he set the world on fire last night. Obviously, his performance in the pipe was unbelievable. I think he captured the imagination of America. I think he is a superstar around the world. He also had a lawsuit filed against him a couple of years ago by his former drummer in his band, where she alleges that he routinely sexually harassed her by sending her graphic images on her phone, by sending her disgusting sexual narratives. She claims this was a cycle that lasted 7 years. They settled out of court. He has this unbelievable performance in the pipe yesterday. NBC asked him about it after he won the gold medal yesterday.
Shaun, over the past couple of days, the sexual harassment allegations against you by Lena Zawaide have resurfaced.
Lena,
are you concerned that they are going to tarnish your legacy?
You know, honestly, here to talk about the Olympics, not, you know, gossip. So, but I don't think so. I am who I am, and I'm proud of who I am, and my friends, you know, love me and vouch for me, and I think that stands on its own. So,
absolutely. Thank
you. But so you're saying that the allegations against you are gossip?
I think we're here to talk about the gold medal and the amazing day we had today. Thank you. So if we don't have another question, why don't we go ahead and just pass the mic? Thank you so much.
I'd like it to be addressed just a little bit. I mean,
like I said, I think we're here to talk about the gold medal today and the amazing day we just had.
I feel like I addressed it.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Thank you. Thanks, Shaun. We had another one.
Wait for it.
I was going to ask the same question.
That hurts. Shaun White went on the Today Show this morning. And had, I guess, a mea culpa, Jake, is the right way to say it, because he certainly, that answer you just heard was not great. So he tried to do some damage control this morning on NBC.
Thank you so much.
I don't have to tell you, not all the headlines today have been positive, as you're aware. A lawsuit that was filed against you a couple of years ago by your former drummer has been resurfacing.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say about that and kind of clear the air?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm truly sorry that I chose the word gossip. It was a poor choice of words to describe such a sensitive subject in the world today. And, you know, I'm just truly sorry. And I was so overwhelmed with just wanting to talk about how amazing today was and share my experience. But, yeah.
Shaun, first of all, I don't like the way he handled that. I think the way he answered the question at the press conference was atrocious. I don't know who's advising Shaun or who his PR people are, but I didn't think that was good. And then to come off kind of arrogant, but that's who Shaun White is. So my first question is, should Shaun White have to answer these questions 2 years on from a settlement he made with this girl? And is it the right time and place to ask him about that after the single greatest performance of his career?
I mean, probably not the right place to do it, but what, again, what other place do you do it? I mean, it's not like he's a athlete who's taking interviews all the time.
Or readily available
to
the media.
Or readily available. I mean, this isn't a baseball player, football player, or any mainstream sports. This is, you know, snowboarding, which has the X Games essentially in the Olympics. And those are the only times he's ever doing interviews. And really, the Olympics are the only times he's ever doing interviews of that, press conferences, I should
say. Yeah, and snowboarding is a reclusive sport. Yeah. I mean, unless it's, like you said, those main events, you're not available. But I don't think it was appropriate to ask him about that there. I think you're right. I don't know when it would be appropriate.
I just don't think there's another good opportunity outside of that forum because he's not readily available.
Do we need his answer on that? I don't think we need it. And I'm not defending Shaun White. I'm not defending the things that he may have done. He also was on Twitter apologizing, saying that he does not try to defend his behavior. He said that his behavior of several years, many years ago, I think was the terminology he used. So, I mean, he's essentially admitted it. He came to a financial settlement with this woman. I believe that's where it needs to end. I think we have a problem in this country not letting things go. I think he is a superstar athlete, and I think that gets him a certain level of, what's the right way to put this in this country? I think when you're a superstar athlete and you're good with a bat or a ball or you can run really fast, whatever it might be, I think you get a lot more leash than the common everyday Joe like you or me.
Right.
I think those guys get a lot more leash. I think that's incredibly ridiculous because they don't deserve any further leash. But Shaun White settled with the woman to the point of her satisfaction. At what point do we say, hey, this was 2 years ago. Maybe we should just move on from this. Why is this relevant now?
Well, I think your point about them having a longer leash because they're superstar athletes is very much true, but I think it works both ways as well. So they get that longer leash initially, but they also get to field those questions for a long, long time, and there's no cap on when it ends. As far as him having to field those questions, yeah, I think there's no real good answer here. I feel like, you know, he was involved in that. He was mixed up in whatever he did. And so I think that
opened you up. And he's essentially admitted that he did things.
And, you know, just to kind of put a, you know, kind of a detail into this, nobody likes him in the snowboarding community. There's very few people that actually like Shaun White.
He has a very small circle. Yeah.
It's well documented. And so I think that doesn't help him. I think there are examples in the past of, hey, when the community that you're in likes you, when they support you, when you've done for the community what you should have done, you've gone out of your way to help people, they will help you in return in whatever fashion that they can. But when you're not liked, you're not going to get any love when it comes to stuff like this.
You don't get the benefit of the doubt.
You don't get the benefit of the doubt. So I think if you open yourself up to a situation like this and there are allegations going around and you paid somebody off for silence, you're going to feel these questions for a long time.
I think we have to figure out where the bottom on this is, frankly, because the thing that really bothers me is a guy like Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. Patrick Kane was accused of rape in Buffalo several years ago, and he was run through the mud. It cost him a significant amount of money. It cost him endorsements with EA Sports. I mean, it really damaged him professionally. And it turned out that there was almost no evidence to support the allegation. The mother of the woman who accused Patrick Kane of rape tried to say that the investigation was corrupt and fabricated a rape kit that she then claimed she found on her front doorstep. Like, there was all kinds of things wrong with that Patrick Kane situation. At the end of the day, he was not charged. He, though, lost a ton of money. Who is to recoup that money for him? Well, nobody. And now Patrick Kane will forever be known as a guy that raped somebody. There are people out there, whether they're in Buffalo or somewhere else, who say, oh, he's a rapist. Like, he goes around to NBA rink or NHL rinks now, and they chant at him, no means no.
Yeah.
Because he's accused of raping somebody.
Right.
Like, he'll never get away from that. Shaun White likely will never get away from this. But is Donald Trump different? He's the president of the United States. Look at the Stormy Daniels story, and I'm not trying to politicize this podcast.
It's a fair tie together, though.
But it is, because Stormy Daniels, who's an adult film star, a porn actress, now we know was indeed paid $130,000 in hush money during the campaign to not come out and say that Donald Trump and her had an affair. And it was Donald Trump's personal attorney who today admitted that he paid this porn actress $130,000 in hush money. Nothing's going to happen to Donald Trump. He will be unscathed for that. But it's a guy like Patrick Kane. It's a guy like anybody on the Duke lacrosse team back in the day.
Right.
It's all of those situations that do two things that really bother me. It makes it prohibitive if you have been raped, as a woman specifically. If you as a woman are raped by somebody of prominence, it makes it very difficult to report that rape. It makes it very difficult to withstand the public pressure. The woman that accused Patrick Kane, whether it was true or not, claims that she got death threats, claimed that her life was ruined in Buffalo. That's not right. Like, if you are, seriously, if a man rapes you as a woman, it's already embarrassing. It's already self-demeaning. You feel as though you are a lesser person. Then to get death threats because you report that is wrong.
Right.
I look at the men involved in these things who are falsely accused. It ruined the lives of the Duke lacrosse team. It cost Patrick Kane money and reputation. I don't know how you fix it, though, because I look at somebody like Shaun White and I say, well, did Shaun White do this? He, on the record, said his behavior was terrible many years ago.
Right. Yeah.
He's accused of doing boyish things, reaching into his pants, pulling his hand out of the front of his pants. He's accused of pulling his hand out of the front of his pants and making his female drummer sniff his hand. He's accused of sending her pictures of male genitalia. He's accused of sending her pornography that involved dead animals. He's accused of that.
Right.
He's not admitted to that. He said, my behavior many years ago was terrible.
Yeah.
Is this a guy that we should be idolizing? Because we do idolizing
him. Is a really hard word when it comes to this conversation, because you're right, we do idolize him, and I find myself rooting for him last night when he has this epic last run, just like he had in Sochi, where he failed in Sochi, but now he's got the opportunity to redeem himself on the playing field.
And
if
he's standing there crying. And Shaun White, for those of you who don't know, Shaun White has been the dominant professional in snowboarding for probably 20 years now.
Yeah.
But Shaun White's an asshole. He's not a nice guy.
Yeah.
People don't like him. He's egotistical. He will tell you
he's the best. How much of that is the fact that he is the best and everybody knows?
Oh, he's the best. There's no question about it.
But I'm saying, how much of that dislike for Shaun White goes into that?
A ton of it. A ton of it. Why do people hate the Red Sox? Why do people hate the Yankees? Why do people hate the Patriots?
Yeah.
Why do people hate any of the best teams?
Yeah.
Why is LeBron so criticized? Well, because they're the best at what they do. By the way, another guy that comes up in this conversation is Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
How many people never remember Eagle Colorado? Somehow, mysteriously, Eagle Colorado goes away.
Yeah.
Where he was accused of sexual assault. It's just all this stuff. It bothers me. Anyway, back to Shaun White. Shaun White's been the dominant star of snowboarding for 20 years, right? He kind of got knocked off his pedestal 4 years ago in Sochi. Didn't win a medal. Came back and said, I'm only coming back to win the gold medal in the superpipe. Has one of the greatest runs on run number one. He falls on run number two. His Japanese opponent bests his run one score. Like, his Japanese opponent came out flying on run two.
Crushed it.
Took the lead. The Japanese opponent falls on run number three. Shaun White is the last rider in the pipe. And he had a 94.25, I believe it was, in his first run. He had to essentially get a 96 to win, which is, in at the Olympic Games, is almost a perfect run. And he did it. And he accomplished his goal. And he broke down crying. And he showed humility. But then all of this stuff about you know, sexual harassment.
But were you thinking about all that while you were watching it?
I was. And we talked about it. Shaun White's not a nice guy. Shaun White's not even a likable guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I love watching him perform. But I got to be honest with you. I'm the guy who sits there and says, yeah, he's not a nice guy. Why was he walking by himself after he won the gold medal? He's not a nice guy. Did you see
Red
anybody?
Red Gerard wasn't.
What happened? Normally in snowboarding and skiing, you get crushed when you win a gold medal.
Yeah.
That's not who Shaun White is. And it's unfortunate that's who his personality is. It's just I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I know I'm frustrated with this.
Right. Yeah.
I'm frustrated with our country being okay.
You know, I think now more than ever, because Trump is in the White House, we are micro focused on this particular topic because of the Stormy Daniels story, and that kind of re-energized the topic. Because over the summer, if you recall, what were we talking about? We were talking about NFL, Colin Kaepernick, and domestic violence. That was the big topic that everyone was talking about, because inevitably that comes up sooner or later. It comes in waves. It dies off, which it is right now, and then it picks back up. Well, since Trump's been in the White House, this has been on the forefront of everybody's mind.
Look at this Rob Porter thing. His secretary, essentially, Rob Porter was a valued member of Donald Trump's staff at the White House.
His boy.
Two of Rob Porter's ex-wives came out and said, oh yeah, he beat me. Donald Trump knew about this, if you believe the FBI. The FBI comes out yesterday and says, hey, by the way, yeah, they knew about this in July.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump doesn't fire him until last week. Donald Trump releases a statement talking about what a great guy Rob Porter is and how important of a job he was doing. And it turns out he was on the verge of getting a significant promotion. But then the public pressure got turned up and they had to let him go.
Yeah.
Donald Trump never mentioned Rob Porter's abused ex-wives. And it's not a question of did Rob Porter abuse them. So it's just this thing where we want to put these famous, powerful people up and the women they abuse down. And I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to fix that. Because Shaun White had essentially handled his business and deserved to be sitting on that podium. To be sitting at that dais last night. He earned his way to a gold medal. He settled with this woman to her satisfaction.
Yeah.
Why are we asking him about it? I don't like he did what he is accused of doing.
You're asking him about it because I think it was assumed that he was going to win the gold medal. And I think the public assumes, well, it's Shaun White. And greatness comes with that name. So you assume that he's going to be able to do it. So naturally, after he does it, you're like, okay, great. In the moment, you have euphoria. And then you're like, all right, after the moment, you're like, well, all right, great. He did it. Great. Let's move on. And then in the press conference, you're thinking, okay, well, what else am I going to ask him? I'm going to ask him how it felt. We know how it felt.
I'm listening to the radio this morning, and I'm hearing that Shaun White is being compared to Donald Trump and Rob Porter. And I'm just like, is Shaun White really in the same class as Donald Trump for oppression of women in our country? And I'm not trying to politicize this, but just on this Rob Porter thing alone, like Donald Trump has never addressed Rob Porter's ex-wives or mentioned, oh, we cannot put up with domestic violence on our staff or in our country. Something just is glaringly simple as that. Yet Shaun White is asked about it. Has to go on the Today Show today to, it was the first question out of the box. He clearly said to them, please ask me about this. I want to apologize. He apologizes. He admits his behavior was terrible many years ago. He financially settles with this woman. Today he's being vilified. Today Donald Trump is not. And I don't know how to reconcile that. That's what I'm frustrated with. I look at the Patrick Kane situation. I look at the Duke lacrosse situation. I look at the fact that, not to be redundant, but women in this country have a very difficult time reporting sexual crimes, crimes against them of a sexual nature.
Yeah.
You want to steal Sally Smith's car? She has no problem calling 911. If Sally Smith's boss, mentor, friend sexually assaults her, rapes her, gropes her, is she right away calling 911? Probably not, because she's got a lot to think about whether her life will be ruined because some a-hole decided to attack her. And I have a fundamental problem with that. There's a middle somewhere, and I don't know how to fix it. And sadly, let me just be brutally honest and say we'll never fix it. Because all these guys we're talking about have too much money, which in this country equates to too much power.
Yeah.
So I don't have some grand answer. I don't have a way to put a bow tie around this.
There is no answer. I think all you can do is continue to bring awareness to the issue, and you just keep going. I don't know what the change is. I don't know what sparks anything different in the conversation, because seemingly all those situations you just brought up just keep repeating themselves over and over again, just in different scenarios and different styles. And it all boils down to the fact that women are getting sexual assaulted by famous people. Yeah. That's what it boils down to.
And so, by the way, the Larry Nassar story at Michigan State and Jim Nantz, perfect example.
I mean, there's just so many different examples. But the point is that there isn't a fix on it.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, real quick, two radio stories of note. We've told you a lot about WEEI in Boston. And we've heard repeated incidents over the last month at WEEI where they seemingly have pointed a negative story or stunt at Tom Brady, to the point where Tom Brady was no longer willing to do his regular radio appearance, his regular radio show Monday mornings on WEEI, the flagship station of the Patriots. And there had been a situation where you had a former Patriot in Christian Fourier who went on the air and mocked Tom Brady's agent Don Yee in a stereotypical Asian voice. He was suspended. You had a host at WEEI call Tom Brady's daughter an annoying pissant. He was suspended. And then you had this story with Ron Borges, the Boston Herald columnist, who was fed a bad tip. Now, granted, he didn't do his homework on this tip, but a source told him that Tom Brady was ready to hold out unless he became the highest paid player in the NFL. Borges writes the story, and then WEEI comes out and says, yeah, by the way, that's a BS story. We put our caller up to feeding you bad information. Like, all of this terrible stuff, and we have no idea why they're doing it. Well, today, Entercom, who's the parent company that owns WEEI, I think did something that's purely a stroke of genius. Because this was, I think, one of the few things that WEEI could do to save themselves. On Friday of this week, they are shutting down their radio station and taking every employee to sensitivity training.
From 6 to 6.
They are shutting down live programming to take all of their employees to sensitivity training. This is sports radio we're talking about. It's unheard of. It's unprecedented. This will cost them money. This will cost them...
But you got to lead by example if you're the company. You're right. That's the only way they're saving themselves. I think it's... This shows kind of what you can do to, I guess, mitigate loss on some level, mitigate reputation loss. I mean, if you just put out a Twitter statement and say we're sorry, I mean, that doesn't really – we're getting so many sorries that don't mean anything nowadays. It doesn't really fly anymore. So I feel like they felt compelled to do this, and I like it.
So kudos to WEEI and Entercom for doing that. And then a story about my former employer at KMBR 680 in San Francisco – one of the greatest radio stations I've ever had the pleasure of working at, a great sports talk radio station in this country. And they fired a host today because he talked about 17-year-old snowboarder Chloe Kim. The host's name was Patrick Connor. And I knew Patrick Connor. He was the third wheel producer of Murph and Mac, the morning show, the dominant morning show in San Francisco sports radio. And Patrick Connor and I were friends. I knew him when I worked there. Well, Patrick Connor essentially went on Barstool Sports, which is totally different, not owned and operated by Cumulus or KMBR. He went on Barstool Sports Radio as a host on Sirius XM and essentially talked about Chloe Kim and called her a hot piece of ass. She's 17 years old. And he said, if she was 18, you wouldn't be ashamed to say that. Well, actually, I would be ashamed to say that. And he talked about the fact that he knew when her 18th birthday was. Well, thankfully, Even after he apologized, Patrick Connor said yesterday, in a weird attempt to make people laugh, I failed. My comments about Khloe Kim were more than inappropriate. They were lame and gross. I'm truly sorry, Khloe. Well, this did not sit well with KMBR. Because today, Patrick Connor was fired by Cumulus.
It just seems like with this, the snowboarding, no drama. It's all like just chill. Hopefully they're not drug testing him for a little bit of a, you know. He's just coming off the X Games.
Anti-inflammatories.
And there you go. Me personally, I'm on Twitter. I see Khloe Kim. I'm thinking Khloe Kardashian, Kim. I don't want to deal with that. So I missed out on the whole Khloe Kim thing, but it's a good story. She's into it. A little kid seems, I'm inspired by it.
Yeah, Khloe Kim, famous for riding a very different board than Kim Kardashian.
There you go. No doubt.
And in fact, just to keep it on that tip, her 18th birthday is April 23rd, and the countdown is on, baby, because I got my Wooderson going. That's what I like about them high school girls. Man, no. She's fun.
Yeah, I'll just stop right there because I think it's purely ridiculous. That he would say something like that, and that's on Sirius XM. Well, today Cumulus fired him, and the program director at KMBR, who's a guy I know as well, Jeremiah Crow, said, quote, be advised that Patrick Connor is no longer with Cumulus Media. And I say amen to that, because those comments are completely inappropriate. Like, I mean, I'm surprised he was not fired from everywhere.
Yeah.
But I won't be surprised if Pecan gets another job because, you know, truth be told, he is really talented. But I don't know that you can hire him after saying that.
No, you can't. And again, in the radio industry, in the broadcast industry, it's hard to come back after you make comments like that.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. All right, let's get to the NBA Rookie of the Year. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, because I think there is a raging discussion around Ben Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell. And I have said all along that I think Donovan Mitchell should be the Rookie of the Year, and I maintain that today. And I say that, Jake, because I think he's got almost nothing to work with offensively, especially now that you, coming into the year, lost Gordon Hayward and George Hill. Now you've traded away Rodney Hood. Granted, you got Jay Crowder, good old number 99. You forced him to wear those uniforms that I am still out on. I'm not sure if I love them or hate them.
Yeah.
But I know this, that Donovan Mitchell's a stud. And to me, Donovan Mitchell is the Rookie of the Year because of the way he's performed. I just love the guy. They are better with him on the floor. I think he is not as efficient as a player. He's not the defender that Ben Simmons is. But boy, he, in my opinion, is a much more dynamic talent.
Yeah, I think overall he is a more polished player than Ben Simmons is. Ben Simmons is not the shooter that Donovan Mitchell is. The difference is that Ben Simmons has size on his side. He also has the ability to, I mean, he leads the Sixers the same way that Donovan Mitchell leads the Jazz. But I think what it comes down to is that Donovan Mitchell is on a team full of just average dudes. And Donovan Mitchell balls out every night. And if you've been paying attention to the stats, he's top 30 in scoring in the league now as a rookie. So I think that's pretty impressive in your rookie year. His performance against Lillard the other night was very impressive. I mean, he was right there the whole game, made a couple of nice moves against him. I mean, it wasn't as though he was outclassed by Dame. So I think that just shows how good he is.
Is Ben Simmons a rookie? This is a huge debate also going on right now. Ben Simmons is a guy that's in his second year. He did not play a minute last year coming out of the 2016 draft. Obviously, he was injured. Now he comes in this year. He and Donovan Mitchell are the exact same age. So I don't know that it matters. But in your mind, is Ben Simmons a rookie?
Experience-wise, he's not a rookie because he sat out injured the first year. So he's essentially a redshirt rookie. That's kind of the term that's being thrown around. And I think there's a lot of value in that. Your rookie year is a huge learning experience. I think a lot of guys don't understand the rigors of all the travel, of all the media, of you know, practice versus just shoot around. You know, just the scheduling is just so different than the college game. And all you're doing is basically trying to stay out of trouble and play well on the court. That's like your entire life. You know, and so I think for Ben Simmons to have gone through that, everything off the court, already before he started playing is a huge advantage for him. He's able to be more of a professional already and be used to that.
Well, he was around the NBA for another year.
Yeah.
He grew up as a professional off the floor, which maturity-wise and experience-wise is massive.
But a Periscoper makes a good point with this question. If you take away each player from their team, so if you take away Ben Simmons from the Sixers and Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz, who struggles more?
Oh, Donovan Mitchell.
As a team, who struggles more?
The Jazz without Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, he's a huge part of what they do. But I don't know. That's the MVP award.
Exactly.
The rookie of the year for me is who as a rookie is the best player as a rookie. Well, Ben Simmons is a much better player all around. Better rebounder, much better as an efficient player. His real plus minus is much higher. Defensively, there's no question that Ben Simmons is a better player right now than Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell scores. Donovan Mitchell dunks. Donovan Mitchell runs. Donovan Mitchell shoots. Ben Simmons rebounds, sets up guys, gets in the paint.
Makes everybody else around him better.
He does. So does Donovan Mitchell. There's just another level of talent right now to Ben Simmons. There's another two levels of depth. Ben Simmons, and maybe the word is all around. Ben Simmons is an all-around NBA player right now. Can't shoot, but there's a lot of guys who've made a living. Jason Kidd, Rajon Rondo.
Lonzo Ball.
Maybe not Lonzo yet, but there are guys in this league who cannot shoot, and we're not good shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons is not a good shooter. Ben Simmons, though, is elite at penetration. Ben Simmons is I think he's a great rebounder. I mean, he is.
Because he's got the size, though. And I feel like you can't overstate that. Having length in the NBA is a huge deal. It's why guys like LeBron, KD, especially Giannis, you know, guys like that are elite because they have
Giannis
length.
Giannis is interesting.
You know? And I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell should be compared to Giannis, but when we're talking about length being an advantage to a player, there's no denying that Giannis wouldn't be the player he is without that length.
Where do you, though, come down on these Donovan Mitchell versus Ben Simmons long term? Because I think long term, Donovan Mitchell has much, much, much higher of a ceiling. I think once Donovan Mitchell learns to create offense off his defense, Donovan Mitchell is going to be a real problem. Because it's something that every great player has to learn. And that whether that's Steph Curry, who's gotten much better defensively, your boy KD's gotten much better defensively. Growing up, I can absolutely tell you that once a guy like Jordan got better, once a guy like the Jazz are a great example of that. Once Karl Malone learned to be a big body and play like a three, like Karl Malone might have been the first guy to really be a 3-4 combo. That's when he truly became an incredible basketball player.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley really was never a great defensive player, and he didn't win a championship because of it. I think guys like Donovan Mitchell, because he's got the ability to be... I'm not going to say he could be Kobe, LeBron, or Jordan, because that's insane. But he's got the ability to be the best player on any floor on any given night. He's got that ability. Hell, he could do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively. He's not going to do that right now defensively.
Yeah, I think ceiling-wise, I think we probably part ways there because I think Ben Simmons, with the body, with what he's able to do in other areas of the game, I think allows him to go further, to reach other areas in the game that Donovan Mitchell simply won't be able to get to. I mean, I think...
Sure.
Rebounding, you know, defensively, which is what you've been stressing, the longer you are in defense, the better. And I think in today's game... We're looking for long, agile guys like the KDs of the world, Kristaps Porzingis, why he's so coveted, Giannis. I mean, we're looking for tall, lanky guys who can play both ways. I think Donovan Mitchell, in my opinion, trends more towards, you know, to me, his game is very similar to Damian Lillard. I think he'll be better than Damian Lillard, obviously.
Periscope says that he's similar to Russell Westbrook without all the turnovers.
He doesn't have the body of Russell Westbrook, first of all.
And he doesn't have the explosiveness, the speed, the elite quickness.
Yeah, he's not.
But no, I think that's what makes Russell Westbrook elite.
Yeah.
Is he's quicker than everybody.
And he's a bulldog.
I love the Damian Lillard comparison. I think that's absolutely right. I think Donovan Mitchell's a hell of a lot like Damian Lillard. And if that's what his ceiling is, that's a pretty good ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, right now, I still got to take Donovan Mitchell. Even having raved about the way that, you know, Ben Simmons is an all-around player, better defender, I think what Donovan Mitchell is doing in Salt Lake City.
Well, and that's the impressive thing.
It's pretty remarkable.
It's impressive.
It's a tough place to play because you don't get a lot of notoriety. The dunk contest for him is really important because it's one of the few places where he can really put himself on the map.
I think, to speak to that, I think Dennis Smith Jr. is highly underrated in this discussion. I'm not saying he's Donovan Mitchell, but he is right there. I mean, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year by any means.
Donovan's on a different level.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, dude.
I think it's everybody else. I think it's Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell and everybody else. Like, Jason Tatum is not even in the discussion for me. I don't know who's going to vote for Jason Tatum to be the Rookie of the Year because he's just not even close to the best. He's not even in Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell's category. He isn't as dynamic. He's on a really good team, so he should have a lot of, like, the Rodney Hood thing. He's on a really good team now. Rodney Hood's getting a lot of open looks. What's Jason Tatum doing with those? Not much. My point is, I really like Donovan Mitchell. I really like that he is in a very difficult situation, and he's excelling in that situation. So I think that's that. My vote, what your final vote is what? My final vote is Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
So you
as
agree
well.
With that?
Yeah.
No, and no shot to Ben Simmons. I think
long term
Ben
Simmons is going to be a better player, but this year, right now, it's Donovan Mitchell.
Hey, speaking of Ben Simmons, there's also a lot of conversations around the 2016 NBA draft. And people are saying that the 2016 NBA draft could be one of the worst in history.
Yeah.
Let me refresh your memories. Let's go down memory lane. Number one pick in 2016, none other than Ben Simmons. Brandon Ingram, 2 to the Lakers. Jaylen Brown, 3 to the Celtics. Dragan Bender, 4 to the Suns. Dragan Bender busts. Or we don't know yet.
I don't think we know yet. I don't think we know yet.
He's teetering. He's teetering. He's standing on the edge of bust-em. Chris Dunn, number 5 to the T-Wolves. Now a Chicago Bull. Not a superstar.
He's a bust.
Great at bouncing his face off the floor.
Yeah, you're a bust.
Buddy Hield, number 6.
Bust.
Not good.
One good year with the Pelicans, and that's it.
Jamal Murray.
Solid.
He's all right.
I wouldn't say a bust. He's just solid.
Marquise Chris. 8th. Sacramento. Traded to the Suns. Bust.
Yeah.
Number 9, Jakob Poeltl. 9th overall. Big man. Probably. I don't know.
It's close.
He's not a star.
As a big man.
Yeah, he's not a star. But it's not a big man league, which is why I don't take centers at 9.
Yeah.
You need
4 or 5 hybrid players. That's what you're looking for.
Thon Maker, number 10. Eh. Domantas Sabonis. I think he's one of the best players in this draft at 11.
Yeah.
I really like what he does. Taurean Prince.
Who?
Yeah, he's just okay. Georgios Papagiannis, just cut by the Sacramento Kings with the 13th pick of the first round. And they traded.
Yeah, look, this draft was definitely light. I think the best players out of this draft are the first three you listed.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, Brandon Ingram, and Ben Simmons.
And they're solid guys. Denzel Valentine. They're solid guys. The problem is, like, Malcolm Brogdon won the Rookie of the Year. He was picked 36th overall. In the second round.
I don't know how you explain that. Don't know
because
how you explain
that. One, Ben Simmons was hurt. And Brandon Ingram was average.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the worst drafts in probably the last 15 years.
Yeah.
You know?
And this coming year's draft is said to be one of the best ever.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Was looking back on it now, and I know that it's easy to say that, but looking back on it now, was 2017 a good draft? The Markelle Fultz thing?
Weird.
Holy cow.
Weird.
I'm a renowned shooting coach coming out and saying that he has to be injured because there's no way you'd push a ball like that. That he's actually not shooting.
The exact science behind it is if you can, you know, if you're listening to this, you know, if you're sitting on the couch listening to this, if you just pretend to shoot a basketball with your right hand, you raise your arm up, you can feel your shoulder flex.
Yeah.
The problem is that Markelle Fultz can't keep going. He can't take his elbow above his head to shoot the ball. So therefore, he's pushing forward away from his chest, almost like he's doing just kind of a plate press, as if he's like working out. And that's why he's got this just awkward, almost awful hitch. And so this shooting expert is saying, there's no way that his shoulder is healthy. He even pointed out, too, maybe it's arthritis. Maybe there's something that you wouldn't normally see in a guy this age that he has.
Get the guy surgery. Do whatever you got
to
do.
And if you look back to his college days, he didn't have this problem.
No, he did not.
And that's why he was drafted so high. So it's weird.
So he's been a bust at number one to Philly. Lonzo Ball, number two. He's just been hurt for so long. Jason Tatum at number three. He's been a bit of a disappointment to me. You know, I know I just talked about him, but
I think you're not a Jason Tatum guy.
I think you were,
but you're not now. And I think he's a guy it's going to take more time than just one season. I think the reason Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons are so high up is because they get the ball every time down the floor.
Josh Jackson, number four to the Suns.
100%
bust.
No,
come on.
Dude, he's a bust, man.
He hasn't played well, but he's
not. He's not going to be a star.
They're a terrible organization.
Dude, okay, so what is Salt Lake? Salt Lake is some great organization? Salt Lake's better than the Suns. I'm not trying to hate on Salt Lake, but what I am saying is that you can't use that argument when it's just not true.
The Suns are an
embarrassing organization. What I'm saying is that Salt Lake City, the Jazz, are not an elite organization. They don't spend enough money, so there's not enough talent there.
Yeah, okay, that I agree with. But they're not a bad organization.
No, like, I'm not saying they're
Dennis
a bad
Lindsay's
organization.
Dennis Lindsay's a good GM. Quinn Snyder's a good coach.
You said it the other day, though. The ownership is more worried about cars than they are about running a great organization.
Yeah, so they're more worried about selling cars than they are about winning a championship.
So my point is, when you draft a guy like Donovan Mitchell, he's going to get the ball every single time down the floor. And he's going to get those reps in game.
De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a good player. He's starting now. I actually think De'Aaron Fox is
an offensive juggernaut. I mean, the guy can just score whenever he wants.
Yeah. Jonathan Isaac. Lauri Markkanen.
Remains to be seen.
Great shooter.
Yeah.
Frank Nicolina.
Good.
Jury's out.
Good.
Dennis Smith Jr.
Great talent.
Zach Collins. Ho! Malik Monk. Luke Kennard. Donovan Mitchell. Star!
Should have been drafted higher.
But that's part of the greatness of Dennis Lindsay. He made that trade. The Nuggets drafted him at 13 and the Jazz traded for him. I love that. Absolutely love that move. Justin Jackson, 15 to Portland.
No.
DJ Wilson to the Bucks. TJ Leaf to the Pacers. John Collins to the Hawks. Terrence Ferguson. Ferguson playing pretty well for OKC. Like, there's some guys in this draft.
It wasn't a great all-time great draft. I mean,
Caleb Swanigan getting minutes. Kyle Kuzma, a steal, 27th. There's just not, like, Josh Hart. How would the Jazz love to have Josh Hart right now? I could go on and on. My point is that I think that the 2017 draft is not a great draft. Not yet. And maybe these guys will grow up and emerge into something, but it certainly is not yet. All right. Hey, today is Valentine's Day, right? I'm married. I've been married for going on 20 years. Here's the question. Is this a Hallmark holiday or is this an actual holiday? More than anything else right now, I think it's a Russell Stover, M&M Mars chocolate holiday.
Right.
Is Valentine's Day a holiday?
I think it's a holiday for young people. I think for people like you, it's an opportunity to do something nice. But if you're already doing something nice, you know, I'm not trying to hate. I'm just saying, is that...
You know, if you're an old fart like you and you've been married for 20 years...
you can take it like that if you want to.
Probably should go get some wine and some crackers and stuff. Maybe you guys could eat your fiber together in the morning and celebrate. Why'd you turn the music off?
Because I needed that awkward silence after you were done hating.
You know, you guys actually, you could change your Depends undergarments together and celebrate your life. Your couple of old farts, you know, you only got like 3 years to live. Is that what you're saying? Like I'm old, no, so Valentine's Day doesn't matter?
I'm not saying that. That's how you took it. I'm not saying
that. What does that mean? Well,
for young people in their 20s, for millennials.
Chance for you 40-year-olds to do something nice for each other. Maybe you could like comb each other's hair, take a bath. Hey, how about we get a cup of tea and have a biscuit, matey? Like, what does that even mean?
You've been married for 20 years. It's not like you're out looking to impress.
It sucks. Look, I'm out chasing chicks all over town every night.
There you go.
I don't have time for that marriage thing because you got to pay bills and like adult and stuff. I don't have time for that. That means you're old once you get married. Anyway, it's. You are not single.
No.
But you are not married.
No.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
Just getting together, hanging out, spending time together.
Netflixing and chilling?
Yeah.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
Okay. That's neat. is Valentine's Day a holiday?
I don't think it's a true holiday. I think it's a holiday people like. People like holidays. And there's
Sweetest Day.
Yeah.
No, total crap. No, Sweetest Day, you're not getting flowers for me or chocolate for me. I mean, I'm not even sure we're going to repopulate the earth just because it's Sweetest Day.
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
I think it is. I think it's a day that we need. That's what I'll say about Valentine's Day.
Positive vibes and stuff.
No, I think we need a reason to procreate. No, seriously, I think Valentine's Day is...
You're going to go to Taco Bell afterwards, too?
You know, we're going to take a Chalupa. Gourmet meal. We're going to have a gourmet meal at Double Decker Tacos, and maybe if you're nice, I'll get you a taco salad with chicken instead of that crappy beef they use. But you better go home and sweep the floor. Anyway, the point is, if you're not a misogynist like Jake... I kid. No, Valentine's Day is a night where you go to... You go to Olive Garden instead of going to Five Guys. Right? Like, let's step up tonight.
Infinite breadsticks.
Let's step up tonight and go to Red Lobster. Maybe if we get really crazy, On the Border will be open.
Yes. Yes.
It is a holiday. Periscope says it's a holiday for women. I think it's a holiday to be a good boyfriend, husband, father. Like Lindsey Vonn at the Olympics. Lindsey Vonn is tweeting at the Olympics that she forgot that it is Valentine's Day, mainly because she's single, because she's trying to win the Olympics, her last Olympics.
Yeah.
Lindsey Vonn is single. She asked for people to tweet at her. Did you tweet at her?
I didn't.
Do you wish you had? Because she actually entertained some guys on Twitter, like responded to them and...
No? I mean, it would have been fun and everything, but it's not, you know, it's not like it's a realistic opportunity or something.
It's not who you are. Is that what you're saying, Jake?
Yeah, I'm not a Twitter guy in general. That's true.
Are you a Tinder guy? No.
No.
You haven't been on Tinder in ages. You're an Instagram guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instagram is my preferred weapon.
You can date any athlete. You're not single. You are not married, though.
Right.
You can date any female
Lexi
athlete
Thompson,
in the world.
All day long. Golfer.
Professional golfer, Lexi
LPGA
Thompson.
LPGA Tour golfer. Just bought a GTR, you know.
Is there a second? There's not a second?
Hannah Teeter's pretty good.
Snowboarder Hannah Teeter?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that. All right. Hey, make sure you find me on Twitter. Jake is going to Netflix and chill now.
Yep.
I'm going to go enjoy adult conversation with my wife. You know, because I'm old. I'm going to run to the store and get some Depends. Say goodbye, Jake.
Bye.